This is How Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Okay, so we are going to intro our guest for today's discussion. And Amy, you are sitting there just gloating.
Because I feel it's perfect timing with Valentine's Day coming.
With Valentine's Day coming.
Because you're sick in the head.
I will say this. I'm not planning on it by any means, but if I ever get divorced, it's going to be before Valentine's Day because I hate Valentine's Day.
Dimitri just totally like... explain what we're doing.
Is that what we're talking about? Yeah, I thought we were talking about Valentine's
Day. Way to steal the punchline, dude.
So I didn't steal it, I got it.
So that is Amy wanted to play some sick joke and do a divorce conversation prior to Valentine's Day. But it turns out there's an actual real connection at this time of year for that.
Yes.
So Amy, do you want to introduce our esteemed guest? We are very lucky to have her here
with us
today.
So, and Laura Wasser is here. And
let's give that round of applause, Laura Wasser.
So, welcome to the show, Laura. When I introduced Laura to you guys, I said she is literally, and I stand by this, probably the most well-known and prolific. Is that the right word? Divorce attorney in the country.
It's like a dubious honor.
So I know when I wrote notes, I said your name is synonymous with divorce. How does that feel?
Congratulations!
Yay! She said.
It feels great, you know? When you think of divorce and misery, you think Laura Wasser.
People are going to say, I'm getting a Wasser.
my whole jam is just trying to educate people about not only divorce, but about marriage and relationships and how with better communication and compassion, we can handle ourselves better in all relationships, but certainly if we're getting divorced, and particularly if we're getting divorced from someone with whom we have kids and are going to have to co-parent.
Okay, so I'll give you guys a little background for our listeners on Laura. So she's an attorney, she's an author, entrepreneur, and a family law expert. She's represented a huge list of celebrities, Kim Kardashian, Ryan Reynolds, Anna Faris, Jimmy Levine, Maria Shriver, down the row. But she maintains that divorce is the great equalizer in that it terrifies everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. So she's made it her mission to change this by creating It's Over Easy, which gives divorcing couples an accessible and affordable resource to dissolve their marriage in all 50 states. You're an author, a New York Best Times seller. Like, high five to that. That's amazing. That's really cool. I could write that under my name. I just want to write Brooks Like, New York Best Times.
Instead,
New York Times
it says Brooks Like, mediocre podcast.
Amy!
See, you got a punchline.
Well, you hired me, Amy, so you're a mediocre podcast manager.
I just want to make a quick note. It's Jimmy Iovine.
Jimmy Levine. Yeah.
No,
it's
but,
written as,
but I have I a, don't know. I have a friend at school. His buddy of mine, he has kids, and his Jimmy Levine. Oh. So I don't want him to listen and people think he's getting a divorce. Okay.
So anyway, one of the Surprise. Most qualified people in this state. And Amy, why does this conversation, for you have never been married, why does this excite you so much?
It doesn't excite me like Christmas,
you
but
seem
it's like,
kind of excited.
Here's what I think.
You had to take your coat off because you said you're already sweating.
I was getting sweaty. Because I think relationships fascinate me. And I think that, look, 50% of marriages do not work. So I think if we start talking about divorce, we may make it easier for people that are going through it. And we also could prevent it. Yeah. I think Laura has a lot of great input. We just had an amazing conversation for the last half an hour getting ready for the show about it's not about the divorce. It's about the relationship. I'll let Laura speak on it. But I would love to ask you, do you think marriage works?
I think marriage works for some people. I think if you are a couple that has found your soulmate or found, even if it's not your soulmate, but it's your groove, your best friend, somebody you want to be with, God bless. I mean, I don't want people to get divorced. But I also think, realistically speaking, in 2020, there are people who have been married for a certain period of time and for whatever reason have grown apart. Things have separated them in some way. And I think it's healthier for individuals and kids to see two happy parents that may not be living under the same roof than miserable people, but being able to say, but we've been married for 50 years. So I think if it's not working and we can't figure out a way to make it work, I want it to be easier for people, at least financially and legally, to split up. Then I think they can really focus on the heart and the mind and emotionally doing things in a kind of a mindful, cost-effective way.
I've given that advice to one of my best friends in the world. He has four kids, 8, 7, 6, and 5. Ooh. This is when I gave him this advice. But he
this isn't
his...
me, is it?
He's giving us his, he's giving us the phone number.
But him and his wife were not happy. They were individually and as a partnership just not happy, and it just didn't seem. And I told him, I was like, buddy, give yourself a chance at happiness. Like, and also these kids are smart. Kids will figure out that, that they know that there's an energetic disconnect between mom and dad. Like, they're already 8 years old. They're figuring this stuff out already. So I've given him that advice. Like, I think it's best for you as my friend, for you and for her, to separate and move into a different chapter of happiness.
Totally. And again, helping people figure out A, how to get to that next chapter, and then how to thrive in that next chapter. I'm sure we've all known somebody who's been through a divorce and they're just still so angry 10 years later. Women particularly, just they have that angry face. There's no Botox that can fix it. They're just still so pissed about their ex. I also want people to be able to move into their next chapter.
Gavin's
You know some of those people, Gavin?
That's great.
But you know, to move into that next chapter in a healthy way.
Because Beverly Hills comment, it was perfect.
Yeah. I also know a huge number of very happily divorced people. Like, they seem to be the happiest group of all the people.
Yeah. I mean, you asked me if I've been married. I was married for like 10 seconds in 1993, okay, when I was a baby. We didn't have kids.
Right.
But I have two boys with two different dads, neither to whom I was married, but, you know, talk about happy divorced or happy separated. We all had Thanksgiving together a couple months ago. Everybody was there, my kids, their dads, my current boyfriend, his ex-wife was like, how the hell did I end up here? But it was lovely.
Was this a planned party? Was this a planned party?
This was Thanksgiving. This was our Thanksgiving dinner.
But it sounds like you just showed up to the same restaurant by accident.
No,
this was
a
planned thing
home.
For all of those people to show up there.
It was at my home, and actually I lost my mom over the summer, she always had Thanksgiving at her house in Malibu, and she always had everyone there, even though she's married to my stepdad for like 15 years. My dad was there with his wife. Like, we were always very inclusive in our family, so that's how I learned. And so when we would have Thanksgiving at my mom's, all of the baby daddies and everyone would come. So this year I had to do it at my house, and so we had it at my house and we had all of the people there. And look, you know, sometimes is it trying to have these relationships and smile and maybe fake it till you make it? Yes. However, one, it was a sad kind of melancholy Thanksgiving for me, and these family members, the fathers of my kids, were there for me and were like, we love you, this is our family, we all miss Bunny. But two, all of our kids, my boyfriends included, were so happy that their parents were at one place. I don't know how many of you are children of divorce, but having that Thanksgiving, we're like halfway through, you gotta like get everything bundled up and go to the other person's house so that you can have dessert with that family. That's a pain, and that does not make you thankful. So everybody was there. We did it for the kids. I say to people all the time, you gotta love your kids more than you hate your ex.
Ooh, what a great line.
Wow. That is a good line.
I have that tattoo on my arm, actually.
That's so weird. I have that tattoo also.
So, Laura, I really want to know from you, because I'm 45, almost 46. I guess I am 46. I don't know.
Are you actually 46?
Yeah. I like that. Amy thought we were the same age. She was like, we're the same age, right? And I was like, no, we are not the same age.
Very close.
I'm older.
I love that you're just trying to dial it back one. Like,
I know.
You're going to dial it back. Go back to 41.
Well, 45.
I'm 45, and she whispers 46. It's like, you're there.
So I have a lot of friends who are, quote, what I call sticking it out. Like, it's not great. They are not miserable. There's no drama. Like, there's not constant fighting. It's just sort of dead in the water. What is your advice to those people who've been married 10, 12, 15 years?
Couldn't even be less than that.
Sure.
It could even be 2 years, 5 years.
Should people stick it out? How do you know when divorce is probably the better option, or it's time to like pull the trigger and move on?
I don't know. I mean, I literally, unless you are being, you know, abused, or you're with somebody who has a serious drug and alcohol problem and they can't, no matter how much rehab, they can't get better. I don't know. I mean, one thing is, and I don't think we all readily admit this, marriage is sticking it out. I mean, that's part of it. And if it's not his shit, it's going to be somebody else's shit. So it's not always just like after the butterflies go away and, you know, the bloom is off the rose, you're like, I'm out. That is a very Hollywood way of thinking. I want the newer, better deal. And I've seen that a lot of times. Mm. Men and women who come in and I'm like, wait, that looks just like your ex, but like 15 years younger. That's weird. Mm. So I think that's part of it. Sticking it out has to do with maybe you don't stick it out. Maybe you figure out how to grow and evolve with this person rather than just cutting and running.
I think that's it right there. I think you need to continually evolve. You're going to change. I'm going to change in the course of my life. My wife is going to change in the course of her life. But also, I think people over time can develop some sort of indifference when there once there was an attraction. They can just develop an indifference, and it's not staying connected enough to continue to learn and grow and accept your changes, accept their changes, and also challenge each other. There's so many resources out there, seminars, all kinds of things, books, all kinds of things. There's areas in your relationship you can undoubtedly grow. And maybe there's just an indifference in people where they don't want to put in the energy to do it, or they don't think they can. I don't think a lot of people in their marriage really, really truthfully communicate all the needs and desires and cravings and yearnings they have for themselves, for their partner, all of it. I think they lack a little bit of courage there to share those things that could really actually keep people together and like light their marriage on fire.
Yes. And it's work. I mean, it's like we all go to the gym because we want to stay healthy. We want to stay toned. We want to stay weird. You may have to do that, whether it's therapy. Well, maybe not all.
Gavin doesn't.
But Gavin
mentioned he put on his shoes there about a month ago.
He bought sneakers.
I passed the gym on the way over here today.
Sneakers haven't arrived in the mail yet.
No, I love what Brooks is talking about because I think a lot of couples, and Laura, you probably know this because people have to tell you all their tales, is that they really let their connection go when they let their intimacy go.
Yeah,
because we know tons of couples that haven't had sex in a year, and it's like if you have that, one of the things is like you got to get that back because that is connection, and then the marriage can improve, as opposed to saying like it's dead, let's just
out. But there's also people, there's something also to be said about growing apart, and there's also something to be said about, I think sometimes people when they get into a marriage, they probably, you know, sacrifice certain things and maybe change who they are a little bit. And then as they get older, they say, you know what? I wasn't that person, but I was being that person. So I think it's not always about reading books and everything can be saved.
Well, again, but you could go to your partner and say, listen, these are some of the things I really was super passionate about when we got married. And I let them go by the wayside for whatever reason. We had to move to a different state. We had kids, whatever it is. He or she has to be willing to go, I hear you. I like that. Let's work on those things too. I mean, you have to have somebody on the other end going, yeah, I'm willing to explore those things with you. You can't do it alone. It takes two to tango. So if you are willing to put in, it's the hardest job you'll do. They say being a parent and being married, that's like, you know, you really have to focus on it. And if you're doing it, but the other person isn't.
I thought the purpose of getting married was to improve your life.
Oh, no,
I thought the purpose was... I mean, I'm not married, so I thought the whole purpose of getting married was the partnership of essentially improving each other's lives. So if you're telling me that the two hardest things you're ever going to do are having kids and maintaining a marriage, doesn't that sort of defeat the whole purpose of what the marriage is supposed to be?
It's also
which
the
is
most rewarding.
To improve each other's lives.
What about?
Doesn't come easy.
What about your career? Your
hard,
career,
right?
Your career is like, I got to maintain. There's things. It's not just
no.
About
my career
maintain.
Is an absolute joy.
Yeah, yeah, but there's grind work in there. There's things that you probably don't like about.
I'm happy to do all of it.
And in a marriage, it's the same thing, man. You have the same.
Barely ever do I think to myself, oh, I have to. Oh. With my career.
No,
it almost never happens.
So it's the same thing.
So
in
people
a
feel that
marriage.
Way about in marriage. Yes. Oh, yes. I have to. Oh,
I have to change this diaper. But then you have a clean baby and you're so psyched. I mean, that's just really what it is. It's the parenthood is a better analogy to be like, it's the hardest thing you'll do, but it's also the most rewarding. And we could say the same thing about having a marriage. That
tell me
really
about
is
the joy of the diaper.
There's like, no joy of
I've
the
got
diaper.
Valentine's Day
is
coming.
There's no joy of the diaper till the diaper is gone and the new diaper is on.
Oh, man, I was. Again. What a joy.
Oh, my Lord.
I kick this diaper and see what comes
Gavin,
out of it.
Gavin, I don't think it's...
Amy, I like Amy's question that she brought up a while back was like, at what point do you then decide, let's get divorced? After you've gone through the therapy, maybe it's five therapists or whatever that may be. You know, like,
right. And again, people come to see me all the time, and I will never be the one to tell them that it's time. But when they come to me and say it's time, then what I try to make sure that they are doing is educating, getting their education of what this is going to look like, what other people have gone through, getting a support system for yourself. So many people come to me and they have no idea even what the law is in this state. So
the
they
right enter, sofa bed to they, put in the apartment they're heading into.
Right.
Well, Jennifer convertibles has
I
a deal right now.
I want to know what Laura thinks of nesting. Do you
wait, what is that? I don't even.
So nesting is, I mean, it's people have been doing it for a long time, but it's really become kind of a trend in family law. It's when the kids stay in the family residence and the parents kind of shift out for custody.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Okay, so I think it's great if it works for the family, and I think it's great for a short time. I don't think it usually works forever, although I read a story about a Canadian couple actually that has been doing it for like 7 or 8 years. They actually built like two apartments on to either side of the house, and they just like rotate out and go into these apartments. Yeah.
Canadians,
Canada.
Innovative
exactly.
People. Hey?
Creative. I like it. Yeah.
Innovative.
Wonder who mows their lawn.
Those are my people. Yes.
But I think it's really good, particularly during the process and maybe for like the first, you know, 6 to 12 months after, because it's good for the kids and they don't have to keep moving and packing and going. And I think if the people can get along and have somewhere else to go, either they rent one apartment that they both go to on their off time, but you have to be super, super considerate there too. Cause like if you show up on your off day and there's like used condoms, that's not like, there has to be some kind of,
tough
right? Not good. Or you each.
Unused ones are okay. Yeah. Right?
Well, yes, because they're still available to you.
Here's a question
for you. Are
you
telling people not to use condoms?
Yeah, that is what my entire, yes, this is my point of the podcast is do not use condoms. Laura Wasser.
Laura, here's a question for you.
What a lawyer.
Serious question. Serious question
I'm
for you.
I'm going for the paternity route. I really want to generate some business.
A side hustle.
A side hustle.
So you make your living in this space of dealing with divorce. Has that in any way crept into your life, bled over into your personal life, where you feel cynical or negative or anything about the connotation of marriage? Or are you able to compartmentalize, this is what I do for a living and I still have my beliefs and I believe in marriage here, or this is what I do for a living and I really don't believe in the sacrament of marriage?
I am a great compartmentalizer. I believe in marriage for some people. It's not for me. Like, there's no reason for me to get married. I'm in a very committed, wonderful relationship right now. I'm not super down with the state of California being able to say what happens to my money or who I would owe money to if we ever split up.
But you could do a prenup.
I could
do
a prenup
prior to that.
I could do a prenup. I just, you know, I don't need it. For me and for my significant other, that's not something that we need. But I love a good wedding. I believe in marriage. I think it's important for people. I don't believe you have to get married to have kids, obviously. Like, people say, oh, well, I wouldn't ever want to have kids if I wasn't. That's not for me. But again, one thing you get good at in my job is not judging. I don't judge other people because everybody has their shit. Everybody has stuff. You never quite know what's in somebody's past or what's going on behind closed doors. So you try to listen and you try to problem solve.
Question. Because you've seen so many different versions of failed relationships, the second you're in a relationship with someone and you see any similar stories happening in your relationship, do you assume it's headed towards the direction of the stories you've already seen and encountered?
No, I really don't. I mean, look, I'm 51 years old. I've been in relationships for a long time. As you said, I've seen a lot of relationships. Mm-hmm. I think everything that comes my way personally and professionally is new. I also think there's only a certain amount of things that can go wrong. I mean, I've now heard, I thought, pretty much everything. And you can see red flags in any relationship or any marriage. But like I said, if I'm watching somebody else's play out, I never know exactly what's going on.
They don't say, well, I won't be able to pick you up at yoga because such and such. And you're thinking, Mark versus Tina, 2017.
This is going bad.
No.
I'm going to get a call in about 3 months. Again.
It's over. Yeah. No, you know what? I have enough of my own relationship history that I could just go... Josh, 2009.
Good for you, Laura. I like you. We got to take a quick break, and then we're going to dive more into Laura's story after this. But this is kind of a fun topic here. Okay, we're back from break, and the timeliest podcast we've ever done, a divorce one.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Amy just wants to ruin everybody's Valentine's Day here with a divorce podcast prior to Valentine's Day. But Amy, you had a real exciting question
I listened to Laura's podcast. So Laura has a podcast right now, which she'll tell us about, and then she's coming to iHeart.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome.
Hi. We're so happy to have Laura here. And it'll be very similar to her podcast now, but just broader and... better.
Yes.
So I learned this on your show that set, and I might be getting the stat slightly off, but it's all whatever. Semantics. 70% of divorces are filed by women. And I thought that it was a very interesting conversation that you can tell us about. But you sort of tied it to women are the ones who have this emotional connection. And when they finally just cannot take it anymore, they will file. Whereas men have a little bit of an easier time sort of just rolling with it, and maybe they golf or they go out with their buddies, and they aren't so sort of distraught over the emotional breakdown of the relationship.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I do and we talk about on Divorce Sucks, which is the current podcast, it will become All's Fair, same feed, but on iHeart. All's Fair was just a little broader and had more to do with all different kinds of relationships. But we talk about a lot the difference between men and women. And people always assume that I represent more women. I actually represent more men. You just, I guess, hear about more of the women. But so many men will come to me and they'll have their divorce papers that their wife filed and served them with, and they'll be like, I thought everything was fine. I mean, what happened? Like, I mean, yeah, it wasn't great. Well, when was the last time you had sex? With her?
Yes, with her.
You know, and or like they just, you know, I think men, and again, this also goes in line with men that are working men, okay? So I don't always represent men or women, but I almost always represent the breadwinner. The working person, the breadwinner, is often the one that's like, I don't know, it's not perfect, but it's good, and I love him or her, and it's working. It's sometimes the person that may not have as much going on during the day that's going, I'm not happy, and I want to think about why I'm not happy and how I could be happier and what would happen. And again, no judgment. It happens that a lot of times women are the ones to file because they are kind of the organizer in the relationship. And so they're now we're going to get divorced. I have had women not only file, but help their husband find their attorney and then help their husband find and furnish their entire new home or apartment, because that's what they do. Wow.
It's just moving out.
Moving them out.
I want to move on. And once I get you set up, I can do that.
Yes. That's-
Amy, I have a question for you, because when you asked this question, it made me think of a question. You said that, and maybe it statistically is true, 70% of women are the ones that file, or of divorces are filed by women. I thought about how, so I'm thinking about how you exit a relationship. Is it also the same as how you enter a relationship? So that maybe, and I'm not trying to generalize or paint women with a broad stroke here, but do women enter a relationship for a deeper emotional connection than men? Men maybe enter for a different purpose. And then that's also why when that falls out, the woman chooses to exit.
That lands very well on me. I would say that's 1,000% accurate.
That women are kind of the drivers of both the in and the out.
Because the emotion plays such an important part for women, in my opinion.
And the definition, defining it, saying like, okay, so wait, are we monogamous?
Yes.
Are we this and we're this? And they have to define it in a way that makes more sense.
And I think the connection is so, for women, and people can email us and call us and tell us, but for women, the connection is emotional. The emotion, the sex, all of it creates the relationship and the connection. So as it starts to dissipate, they are seeing the relationship fall apart. Whereas men, I do think, have an easier time as the relationship is very secondary to them. I have my golf, I have my job, I have my kids, I have my life. And yeah, you're okay.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why is that different for
men? Is that
men?
What men sound like if, to you?
A lot of golfers. Like,
is that really?
A lot of golfers.
Golfing is really flying heavy here. I've never been out with a golfer before. Do they really like it that much?
Yes. I find
apparently
that
Amy only dates golfers.
Well, I used to only date water polo players, but I've switched it to golf.
Because you were a Kappa.
Okay, well, let me get your guys' take on this.
I have a question, or not a question, but a comment about that. I feel like girls and women in general, when all of their friends are getting married, they will then rush into, there's like a social pressure
yes.
to jump in to a relationship just to get married. Or
we've definitely,
I disagree with that. I disagree with that.
Oh, I think it's 1,000% true.
I think it's like 996%.
1,000,000.
I disagree with it. I don't know anybody in my head that's going, oh my God, and maybe I just don't know, but like, oh my God, everybody's getting married. I need to find somebody and just, Dimitri, what do you think? I think you're on my side.
I think they're currently dating somebody and they're like, let's get married.
When are we getting married? When
are we getting married? I don't get that.
Oh my God, Brooks, I have many friends that panic married. They were like,
at what age? Hold on.
Late
20s, early 30s.
Really?
Because every one of their friends, Rick and I have all the same friends. They all did it. And they married like a giant tool bag because they were so desperate to get married, because in our society, you feel like a giant failure if you aren't married and don't have kids.
Does that work?
Wait a second.
Does that work on the opposite?
That's a very good point. It totally works on the opposite. We see a trend among friends.
People get divorced and they're like, divorced, you know what?
And then you see the whole domino toppling of these groups of friends. And I've seen that here in LA. I've talked to people in New York. One of the reasons when we created It's Over Easy, which is this online website where you can get divorced for $1,500, much less than what I would charge you at my office. But the main point of it was to also have a community. So you join that community. There's a whole bunch of content so you can read about it, reach out to other people, listen to podcasts about it, have, you know, group chats so that you don't have to then convince your friends that you're having dinner with tomorrow night to get divorced. You could talk to somebody across the country that's getting divorced, you know. And also a ton of resources so that you can either find mental health, find childcare, find insurance if it's not available through your employer, find dating apps, and also find, you know, you could sell your engagement ring online.
Straight into dating apps. Yeah. Full service. It's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right into the
Getting divorced too? Oh, hey, what's going on? Hey, so what do you like?
Yeah. Sure.
You live in New York? Cool. I'll be there next week.
Laura, what do you think of a mediator?
I love mediators. I would say that at our firm, probably 80 to 85% of our divorces are mediated, because it's just prohibitively expensive, both financially and emotionally, to have a trial and to go to court. And our courts are so clogged. So find a mediator, which is a neutral party that has some experience. We use a lot of retired judges. I now do some mediation too, rarely, where I'm the mediator and I represent and I work with both parties to do it, because I've been doing this
and
long
then
enough.
Do they have
I know
to get
how.
Attorneys on top
you don't
of that?
Have to. Okay. So you could, and you could both have consulting attorneys, but it still makes it easier. Then you don't have to run to court and get like a slamming of the gavel verdict. You could have somebody say, you know what? This is what will probably happen. How do you feel about this? And it's really helpful, because the other thing is, especially in a divorce, it's like no other kind of lawsuit. If you're in a landlord-tenant lawsuit or a fender bender, you want to get the other person. You want to win and you want to smash them, whatever. We can't really do that in a divorce. You might feel like you want to, but one, this is your money. There's a pot of your money. It belongs to both of you. The more you spend and go out of the pot to the lawyers and the forensic accountants and the experts, the less you have for you and your kids. But two, and most importantly, after the fender bender, you're never going to see that person again. After the divorce, you're going to see the person at the parent-teacher conference. You're going to see the person at the birthday party. You got to figure out a way to get along with them. Thanksgiving, if you're in my family. Yeah.
Getting wassered can be expensive,
yes,
so it's probably better.
Very expensive.
Do people not get divorced because of money, where they stay together because they are like,
cheaper to keep her. Have you ever heard that?
Oh,
yes. I'm good.
That's great. Really good.
Wait, I have this great joke. What is it? The Barbie dream house. Barbie dream house comes with all the accessories, the dream house and the clothing and the wardrobe and the RV. And Ken just comes by himself because she took everything, or some joke about that.
He certainly does.
You're Ken.
Have you ever seen a Ken doll? He doesn't have anything.
Gavin, do you feel sort of like I do about marriage, because we've seen divorce and we don't want that? So it's like, why?
I'm not afraid of marriage at all. I'm just afraid of divorce. I think that, and it wouldn't be so terrifying if divorce wasn't incentivized. The reality is that divorce has become completely incentivized in Western civilization, period. And it's just, it's financially bizarre that you would reward a failing system.
And you think that we reward it because she gets half your money?
Doesn't have to be she.
In his case.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's bizarre to me that we would reward failure. In almost no other structure do we reward failure. So why would you reward failure?
I take issue with two things. One, I don't necessarily think it's a failure, but let's leave that alone. Why? Who's being rewarded?
I'm saying if there's a high earner and right? a low earner. Okay, and the relationship doesn't work yet.
Okay, so here's how maybe change your way of thinking a little bit. And I'm not saying I agree with the law, but the law is when you get married, the high earner is earning money from community efforts, which means it's already half her money in this hypothetical situation. Okay. So we're not rewarding her. She already owns half of it.
I'm not saying...
She's just taking her half and leaving the party.
Right. Okay, here's a question. So I don't know all about the law here. You do. Right?
Yes.
I'm just looking at it from this distant window, right, of people that I know who have had divorces and it's been very costly, okay? People who maybe have had been married for 5 years, they had a kid, and the sort of the ex turns into an absolute terror and greedy and absolutely torments the ex, waving the power, having the power of waving the kids in front of them and really weaponizing things that shouldn't be weaponized.
Agreed.
Right? So have you seen that?
Totally. That's why I do what I do. I want to change that.
And that's what I'm talking about. So we're rewarding people for walking away from the system that was supposed to be helping each other. And you may think I'm wrong saying that, but I've seen that with people that I knew, friends of mine, who I felt like they were just getting raked over the coals.
Right.
You know, I felt like they got, maybe someone took advantage of their financial situation. They were, you know, they were lonely, essentially, working their ass off and providing, you know, essentially living a good life, and found someone that wanted to do that with them.
Right.
And got used for that, essentially.
Yes.
You know
and
what
again,
I mean?
I will say to people that kind of hypothetical that you explain, I'll say, you created this monster. You took her in. You started providing her with this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. In the situation you described, mm-hmm. he'd only be paying spousal support for about 2.5 years, half the length of the marriage. Mm-hmm. I know it's not nothing. Mm-hmm. And he's likely not paying much more than what he was paying for her to have that lifestyle anyway. It's just that, yeah, it hurts when you're writing a check and it's going away. It's mm-hmm. different if you're writing a check and it's all happening under your same roof. Mm-hmm. If you're all in Cabo, you mm-hmm. don't quite mind so much than if she's in Cabo with your kids and you're paying for it.
Do you see more and more women who are having to pay spousal support?
Yes, spousal and child. And again, they come in and they're like, what do you mean? This guy's been sitting on the couch for 15 years. I want this albatross off from around my neck. I'm the woman. I shouldn't, you know. And I said, well, the law is gender blind, honey. You're
That's how I
support.
Feel. It should be totally gender blind.
It is. And it is much more in California now with regard to custody, too, of kids. I mean, people mm-hmm. come in and say, well, I'm the mom. I should have the kids. Right. And I'm like, yeah, not so much. The kids have a right to have access, I think, equally, if possible, based on timeshare and careers and location with both of their parents.
Sure.
I love your approach. Yeah, just mm-hmm. listening to you talk, I love your approach to a very sensitive and tough topic.
I have two really quick topics before we go. One is, and I think we kind of addressed it, is conscious uncoupling.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Much better than unconscious coupling, which sometimes happens like right after the separation.
Okay, dive into that. Dive into the term of conscious
uncoupling.
When do
you think Chris Martin made it famous? But I've interviewed the woman who wrote the book about conscious uncoupling.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually quite, if you really dig into it and read the book, it's basically what Laura was talking about, how everyone's at Thanksgiving.
Mm.
The goal is to make it, I don't know, you can explain it. I'm sure you have couples that attempt it. But it's keeping the relationship good for you and that person and children if they're involved, because it shouldn't have to be so ugly. Basically, it's the marriage didn't fail. it worked, and now you're going to move on.
You're changing how your family functions. You're still a family, but you're changing the way you approach your familial relationship. Mm-hmm.
It's what you said before. Do you hate your ex more than you love your kids?
Right.
I would hope not.
Right.
So there's no reason to not try and make that situation.
I think conscious uncoupling is what I try to do now in all relationships, not just marriage, because it's like, why should it be so ugly when maybe it was beautiful, and then, like, for a variety of reasons, some beyond my control, it doesn't work out.
Amy has Thanksgiving with all her ex-boyfriends.
Exactly. I say, everybody. It's like, this is your life, Amy.
The Last Supper.
We're going to the Walkers next year.
But I really, I mean, if I say to people all the time, you're going through this, think about something that you really used to love about this person. He was in the delivery room with you, holding your hand while you were pushing out those babies. I mean, there has to be something that got you into this relationship, made you fall in love. Tap into that. Because the other thing is, if you're so consciously hating on your ex and you have kids, that same energy you were talking about before, Brooks, that's in the house, carries through. And your kids go, so wait, I'm half that guy or gal, and he or she so hates that guy or gal. How do they feel about me?
Parents should not bring the children into the argument
or even have the argument in front of the kids. They feel it, they hear it, they are
what do
so...
you do say kids turn around
well, listen, go outside.
We have someone that works with us. She's 24 years old, and her parents drag her into all their arguments.
Lame.
Brutal.
Then you start to hate your parents. That's not.
I can't imagine what it's like. My parents have been married now. We celebrated their 45th wedding anniversary this past summer. My wife's parents are divorced. I can't imagine what it would be like as a child to know your parents being divorced. Are any of your parents?
My parents got divorced when I was young. I was like four when they split up.
Yeah.
And I was the last of five kids. But I'll say this: times have changed in the sense that when I was little, I used to think, and maybe I've just matured, when I was little, because of that, my parents did not get along for so many years. It was brutal. So when I was little, I used to think that's the worst thing that can happen to a marriage is, or to a couple, is the divorce. And now that I'm older and I see how it affects kids and all this type of stuff, and I live through it, I think the worst thing that can happen is to have a loveless marriage and fight and stay together. But so I don't think divorce is the worst thing anymore. But I think to be fighting like that, the way I grew up, it was very difficult.
Can we quickly touch on the gray divorce?
The gray divorce.
What's the gray divorce?
The gray divorce is also, speaking of, we're talking about
anybody
like
over 50,
saying du jour.
Anyone over 50 that gets divorced is the gray divorce.
And it's more and more common.
Right. And those are now the people that I graduated from high school with. But the gray divorce, again, it's either people who have empty nesters, their kids have grown up and left, or I think one of the statistics is second marriages have an even higher divorce rate than 50%. Like if you've already been through it once, you're like, yeah, divorce, I'll do it again.
For me, the gray divorce is Al and Tipper Gore. Like they were married for like 50 years and they were pretty old, and then suddenly they get divorced and you're like, why bother?
Why do you ask that question? Because you're saying what their happiness, the remaining years of their life doesn't matter?
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up. I think people are living longer, and so
ugly.
They're more willing to get divorced in their 60s than they used to be.
I mean, I've had people come to me last year in 2019. I actually had three divorces where the parties were 80 or older. And that's when I was truly like, I was like, why bother? And actually, there is some
advice. Here you go.
Ride this out. The fight was over. The settlement was about who gets to keep the medicine cabinet.
And there's some laws, though, if you die when your spouse, when you're married versus dying when you're divorced. There's all kinds of tax benefits. I'm like, well, maybe you waited out. So, I mean, but yes, it is because people are saying, I only have this much time left and I really want to be happy. I'm not going to do this for one more year. I mean, it is true. When humans only lived until like 30, it was a lot easier to stay married for your whole life.
Right.
My grandma did that. My grandma got divorced and ended up dating a new person, actually the first person she ever dated in high school, and was amazingly incredibly
happy. I love those stories.
She was so happy. He ended up passing, but she was so happy during those years of her life.
I have a question. I think that's really cool. I do love those stories too. When you realize that somebody from your past, that's pretty exciting. I have a question though, from your observations, Laura, is there, if you were to give just straight up advice. Do you think there's an age that's too early to get married?
Ooh, great one.
It's hard to say because it depends on the people. I mean, I know there's some really mature 25-year-olds out there. And then there's some super immature 42-year-olds out there.
So but on average.
I mean, you know. Yeah.
We have how old wait, exactly how old? Are you?
Did you research him?
Laura, stop looking at Gavin. Yeah.
Somehow you, April 17th, nailed his exact.
Yeah. I don't know when your birthday
She's like,
is,
they're sorry. Usually rock stars.
Laura, here's a, because I really, listening to you talk, I really respect and admire your approach to this topic. You aren't in it just to like make money and get people on their way. Like you actually care about all parties involved. You look at all scenarios and you actually care about people's happiness. So I want to commend you for all
Thank
of that
you.
And how you handle yourself personally, professionally. That's amazing. Now, that being said, because I gave you that dandy of a compliment, I get to ask you this question. What is the ugliest divorce you have ever seen? You don't have to name names, but right. like, ugly, what is just the...
Ugly to them, because it was probably really nice oh, for you.
No, well, yeah. yeah. What is the one where you just have a story? This
like, that's the one that bought my
all.
House.
This tops all. It's Alan Tipper Gore.
No, it's not Alan Tipper Gore. I did not represent either of the Gores. You know what it is? And these are the ones. There's two to three that like really hit in my head. They all involve child custody. The child custodies are the soul crushers. And in all honesty, Oof. I would trade my house if I didn't have to go through those cases. Because you do. You get very tight with people and you take on a lot of their angst and you see the true evil in people when they are fighting about their children. And again, if there's allegations of abuse or somebody wants to move across the country, so you can't just do like 2 days, 2 days, 3 days of shared custody because they're living a few blocks apart. And it's those kind of things where you just, it is just, it takes so much out of you. And those are the ugliest. They're by far, I mean, there's funny things where, you know, somebody throws a stiletto heel and it actually gets stuck in the door. Or this person wanted to trade an STD test for a get, which is a Jewish divorce. Like, I'm like, that's a weird, you know, combo, but what? Okay. Or poisoning of, you know, cats so that there's like diarrhea all over the white condominium when they gave the cat back.
Jeez.
That stuff is funny, and that's the stuff that I'm like, I that's just made awful. $950 writing that letter. Okay, fine. But the kid ones are the ones that just are so, so sad. And that's why I do it the way you said, Brooks, try to approach it in a way that I really want to change the way people look at divorce and try to make it better.
And I highly recommend Laura's podcast. I've obviously never been married or divorced, and I'm addicted to the podcast. I think it's really good relationship.
I think Amy's
more... So the podcast is called Divorce Sucks.
It's called Divorce Sucks, but by the time this airs, it's going to be called All's Fair, like All's Fair in Love and War. It's on iHeart. Check us out.
I think Amy's a bigger fan of divorce than marriage. Like, if you could just get divorced, you would do that.
No, I think divorce sucks, but I'm not. I'm
Why
a big
do you call
fan
the,
of Laura's.
The Wasser Machine.
You know what it is? The Wasser Machine.
Remember,
you know
we called it Gavin a good time.
Yeah. So here's what it is. This
you
is,
go
this,
in dirty, but you come out clean.
Mediators and vegetarians.
There it
on
is.
The Wasser Machine.
It's like when a product overtakes an entire category. So instead of saying search it, you say, why don't you just Google it? Or you're like, can I have a Kleenex? Right. Like Kleenex is the brand name.
Mm-hmm.
It's Band-Aid. Actually a tissue. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh no!
It
I
could
don't
be.
Like where
you
you're
could
going
be.
With this.
Yeah, just Wasser. Just get a Wasser.
Honey, here's
just
the thing. Wasser. I think we need you know, to get. Like, we need to get Wassered.
Yeah,
it's a nicer term than divorce.
It is.
Yeah. Oh. Maybe we can. Yeah, that will change the whole image of it.
Trademark
it,
that stuff.
That right could now. Be your legacy.
I met this girl.
That's a horrible legacy.
You just got Wassered.
Not bad, actually.
Yeah. What if people are just like, I've been through two Wassers already. I don't think I can do it anymore.
Hey, I'm dating this girl. She, you know, she's Wassered, but she ain't a kid, but she's great.
Oh, no.
What
oh, dear.
What a dubious honor.
I love it. Laura, you're rad. You're totally yeah,
you
rad.
Are
rad.
You are so rad.
Thank you for having me.
And she went
on.
To Cal.
Go Bears.
We went to Cal. We seem like a couple. We're not. We've never been Wassered.
It's because she went to golf instead of water polo.
Okay,
so
Laura.
I love my golfer. He is so great. Golfers are great.
Because he's gone for 8 hours during the day.
Yes, exactly.
That's why we're so happy.
So where can people get in touch with you, Laura? So the podcast now, as we record this, is called Divorce Sucks. The new one's called All's Fair. It's going to be on iHeart, anywhere you get your podcast.
Yes.
But where
can people besides my wife get in touch with you?
Yes. Everybody except your wife can get in touch with me on itsovereasy.com. We have our Instagram, which is at itsovereasy. And Laura Wasser Official is another Instagram. And we are also launching a post-divorce. It's called Next Chapter Series for people that have been divorced and they kind of want some tips on how to move forward in their life. So all those fun things.
Great.
Amazing.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
So all of you listeners, you go. There's a gift to you from our generous producer, Amy Sugarman. It
shows how I feel about Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God.
She's the Grinch of Valentine's
Day. Poor boyfriend.
But in real, that was a real discussion.
He hates it, too. Oh, y'all hate it. I know y'all men hate it.
I absolutely hate Valentine's Day.
Rose dinner. That's what you're looking for.
That was actually a really interesting discussion, though. Like, because it is such commonplace, I know many people, and have it in my family, people that are divorced. And I never looked at it the way you looked at it. I do look at it that I want people to live happy and fulfilled lives. I want that for every single soul. But the way you look at the situation with such a sensitivity and a kindness and authenticity and caring for the people involved. I really commend you, Laura. Thank you very much. I learned a lot here today.
Thank you. Me too.
We thank.
I want to see the
listening.
House that divorce bought, though. Still,
yeah.
Oh.
Right?
Don't you?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate you. Look up her podcast, her new podcast, and I hope you just love the iHeart team, our producers here, Tori, Danielle, Amy, everybody involved with our show, Easton, our engineer. Everybody is just amazing, and I hope you love the new journey. And I'm really happy for you, but I hope I'm never on your podcast.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next week, Woo-hoo! Take care of one another, love one another, and we will see you right back here for another episode of How Men Think.